Hey, horror heads, before we get started today, I wanted to let you know that I am listening to my own voice through studio headphones, and baby, it sounds good for the first time, maybe ever, through these sexy-ass Scandinavian design cans. Headphones. Want a pair? Go to studio.com, S-U-D-I-O, studio, and see what I'm talking about. Use promo code HORROR15 and get 15% off any purchase. HORROR15. Spooky good deals, brah. Now let's get started, baby. Take it away, Freddy.
Hello, boys and ghouls.
Boys and girls.
You're listening to Horny for Horror, the galaxy's number one horror comedy podcast.
Yeah, woo! That's right. And it's hosted by three legit horror heads. And we do everything just celebrating the genre of horror. What do? We review movies. We make our own movies. Mm. We interview characters. We interview humans. We do it all.
We look in the mirror and tear our bodies apart.
Yeah, that episode was wild. Yeah,
and 7 hours long.
And you couldn't see it.
But it was painful, folks.
And you guys can be a part of this horrible pain by reaching out to us at Horny4Horror. That's Horny the number 4 Horror on Instagram and Twitter. In case you've never listened before, I'm Mono.
I am Betsy.
I am Adam.
And we have a gorgeous guest for you.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
A beautiful person inside and out. He's fun. He's funny. Wow. He's sweet. He's extra. He's enough. He's not too much. Give it up for comedian, actor, etc., Chris Eckert.
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. We're very excited.
We've hung out a bunch at our house and recently at Universal City Walk.
It was a really good night. We had a lot of fun.
When you think about a bar crawl on City Walk, it sounds like horror.
It was actually really nice.
It was really fun.
Did you guys know that you can go in Sephora and put anything
on? No, that was completely new to me.
I only learned that night. Both Mono and Chris came out looking beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Mono
went and ate at Panda Express by himself after being full of makeup and got a lot of stares.
You really layered.
We gotta post a picture of you.
Here's a fun fact. I was smash drunk.
We were very drunk.
I was like, oh, I'm going to do this because it's going to be funny for my friends. But then what happened was I was also drunk enough that I was like, I'm going to go wander alone to Panda Express and get myself food because that's the level of drunk I was. And then I was like, oh, no, I have to be in public with this crazy face on. And that means I have to allow people to stare at me and go, what the fuck is wrong? You give people the license to
stare
at you.
In a tourist location. Yes. So you can only imagine that there must have been like a family in Georgia and the father sees you and is like, this is why I don't like Hollywood.
Earlier that day when we were at the beer place, I saw a man wearing a shirt that said Hillary in prison 2016 or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is City Walk.
Yeah.
It could have gone the other way. It could have been like, look, kids, there's a minion. That minion's eating orange chicken by itself. Use the proper pronoun, kids.
If someone yelled an F-bomb at me, I would have to be like, you're not wrong.
I had an F-bomb thrown at me for the first time very recently.
Fun. First time?
Well, no, for the first time recently.
In a long time. Yes.
First time? The time before that was like a few years ago when I was on a date and we were making out at a bus stop and like, someone was like, fucking fat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to say it. Sorry. The Samantha Bee thing has got me like, what can you and can you not say anymore?
Know.
That's the one word you can say legally.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
But then, I was in Sacramento. My family had this ranch house, so every Memorial Day we go. But then I decided to take the bus back to the airport, but there was a transfer. So I was just waiting at a bus stop. And sure enough, like this group of teens saw me with my long hair and they're like, look at you, you faggot. But it's not
two
even
two bus
even
stops. A, you gotta stay away from bus stops.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
what a connect the dots. Yeah, I gotta stay away. From
bus stops are scary.
Yeah.
Well, usually when I'm at a bus stop, I'm wanking my dicks. So that might have something.
That might
a lot
do
of
it.
Queers. Roxy Andrews was very affected by a bus stop.
Oh my god!
So bus stops are bad if you're queer in any kind of way. But we're here to talk about scary horrors as well as life horrors. So I want to ask, when you were young, when were you first, like, kind of into horrors?
And are you into horror?
Yeah, are you into horrors?
I am definitely into, into horror. I tend to go, my tastes lead a little bit to the more subtle.
Like Rob Zombie's films?
Yeah, yeah, very subtle, like Rob Zombie. I like a horror film where you don't see the monster. Mm-hmm. I was telling you at City Walk how much I love The Witch. The Witch was for me.
Spooky!
Was that movie was so perfect. That's what I did for my 30th birthday. I went and we all watched The Witch.
That's fun.
I really like that movie, but I think I've also qualified it as it's a fantastic movie I didn't enjoy watching. Does that make any sense? Like, it was so anxious.
It's not a fun experience.
Exactly.
It's well made and it's good, but it's not fun to watch.
It's not fun to watch, but we were talking about how everybody in that film is a monster.
Oh.
Like, every single, all of, like, there's, like, the father, he's so good in
he's
that
got a monster voice.
Like, yeah, and you're just, like, looking at these Puritans, and it's just the whole thing, but, like, I get
the
off
the son's
on that.
Looking at his sister.
Yes. Well, oh, I know. It's all so treacherous.
I agree. That's such a thing that enhances horror, is there is the problem, like, the antagonist, but then looking at how, like, the how people treat each other is the monstrous thing, where it's, like, in The Thing, it's their suspicion is just as scary as the beast.
The
yeah. Or like so in Nightmare on Elm Street, we've talked about how Freddy's there. Yeah, but also their parents suck. So it's like having to deal with that. So it's like putting like humanity into the horror is what works well. And The Witch does that so well.
Didn't you just recently watch Freddy Part 2?
Part 2.
Yes.
But you haven't seen the documentary yet.
No, I haven't seen the documentary. And that was my first time seeing the second Freddy.
Isn't that fascinating how gay it all is?
It's wild.
So I was watching it with Steve and he had said, you know, this is the gay Freddy because we're going through the one.
Uh-huh. You never thought it would be as overt as it is.
Well, because I went to New Beverly Cinema and I saw a screening of Fright Night and I heard Fright Night. Yeah, the 80s Fright Night had a gay undertones. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Q&A afterwards and the writer, I think it was the writer there or the director, and he said there were, and there are undertones. Freddy too, they're not undertones. That mm-hmm. is a rip current of homosexuality, mm-hmm. like pulling
the
you.
The whole idea of it is him wanting to try to stay in the closet. It's so wild.
So I was counting on my.
We know the guy who wrote it. We know his son.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Harry Taskin.
We should get him on.
We should get him on to talk about it. But yeah, his dad wrote it, and I, from my little, what little I've heard about it, his dad was like, yeah, like that's what I was trying to communicate.
Well, so,
but the studio didn't know that.
So I went down a rabbit hole after I saw it. One, I was, you know, I was like, how gay can this film be? So I was counting the gay moments. Within 10 minutes of the film starting, there were already like 25 gay.
Your eyes went crossed and your tongue popped out.
Yeah.
Too many.
Yeah. And I was like, I feel like I'm at a bus stop.
6 minutes in when Freddie goes, well, if you're not going to suck this dick, I will.
Yeah. So then it sent me down a rabbit hole of like researching the film a bit, and then the writer said that that was intentional, and mm-hmm. that he at that time when the film was coming out there was the big resurgence of gay panic because, you know, AIDS was coming to the forefront, and so he utilized that, which is kind of fucked up, but he utilized that, that element as a sort of a portion of the horror, you know, like I think his intention was to be like, look, you young boys, like could this be you in the future?
Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah.
I know.
I can't wait to see that documentary.
I want to see that documentary bad.
We got it.
And the main actor left the business after the film because he was not in on the, I don't want to say the
but
joke.
But he was a gay actor.
But he was a gay actor.
Trying to present straight.
Yes. But he was in the closet.
Yeah.
And he does such
so
a
many layers.
Poor job of,
Yeah.
Such a poor job. Because that's his real scream. That's his real scream.
I've heard it.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like Ned Flanders.
Yeah. Exactly.
But he left the business after the film and became an interior decorator.
I hope he's living his best life. I can only imagine how complicated it must be to try to present straight at that time.
Well, I'm going to stay in the closet and quit being an actor. Time to go on to my masculine career of interior decorator.
I know.
To stay in the closet.
Absolutely. I do wish there was a gay character in that movie, just like constantly confronting him, being like, really, queen?
Yeah. I mean, there is the coach
Oh my god. Yeah.
The coach goes to S&M clubs and gets whipped to death. Yes. Gets like S&M to death.
Yeah. In the high school locker room.
What a lucky
In the shower.
What a lucky guy.
It's a ride.
And that was the second one of a huge franchise. We were screaming that.
It's crazy that it did not kill it.
And it's amazing. Shocking that you've got this small motion picture, the first, and then of all the ways they can go, like the whole world, that's what they did.
We've got to.
Like, we've opened up this cool world.
Yeah. Now. Dreams being real.
Yes. Now, which, by the way, there's no real dreams in that. The whole thing, like, it breaks its own.
Yeah, immediately breaks
its own. Dream Warriors is
Dream Warriors, though, gets back to it.
Such a logical step.
Have you watched it yet?
No, that's the next one we're watching. Okay. Ooh, I've seen all of them in my life, but it's been such a long time. And the Freddy with the large Freddy snake.
Are you talking about Beetlejuice?
Yeah, Beetlejuice. Freddy and Beetlejuice Krueger.
Freddy snake scene in 3.
Yes. Oh,
okay, so that must
be it's where he turns that weird, like, fucked up looking.
So I saw that as a child, and my dreams are rarely affected by things I see in screen. They're usually depicted by my anxieties that I face in life. But that film is one of the only times I remember as a child seeing a movie and then literally having a nightmare about the film.
Oh my God.
And it was that fucking snake.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I had seen the second one, there would have been more nightmares.
Yes.
I feel like most of my Freddy nightmares were Dream Warriors related because there are so many horrific things like the tongues holding them with the bed going down in the fire bloom, the puppet
veins coming out of his arms.
It's a fun repeat viewing.
It's
You're gonna like it.
So Chris, the reason we wanted to talk to you among being one of the funnest people in the fucking world
no
pressure is you worked at Horror Nights for 4 years?
I worked there between 2008 and 2011.
Wild. I mean, we want to know everything. You told us you have a lot of stories.
In case for people who are listening who don't know what is it called? Halloween Horror Nights?
It's called Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. And they've got one in Orlando, which is their, that's where it, well, actually, it originated in Hollywood. Then it died. And someone died.
Really? That's why it died? Did somebody die?
Was an element. Somebody got run over by a train.
Oh no.
Haunted.
I believe it was a scare actor.
Oh shit.
If I remember correctly, a scare actor was like really into it. Oh my, I can talk so much about.
Please.
I'm so excited.
So many things that are just so
We'll make
silly.
This a 20-part episode.
When you're scare acting, you get a tremendous, just imagine if you're like me, I love scaring my roommate. I'll take any opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
She'll come home and she's so fun to scare. But when you scare somebody, you get that adrenaline rush.
What a rush.
Imagine getting that 20,000 times a night. You know,
my God. So,
I'd be nutting left and right.
So I'm sure that the scare actor was getting that adrenaline rush and he's like, I'm going to chase the tram down, you know, and jump on. And then he did. And then he fell off and got run over by the tram.
Oh, my God.
And so, died. Wow.
When you get run over by the tram. Yeah.
I mean, just.
Well, I mean, it's 9 cars going over you.
And this is all just the stories that I've heard, oftentimes from legitimate sources, but I can't confirm or deny.
Yes, of course.
So, then it died at Hollywood Universal. And then it was born again in Orlando. And in Orlando, it's a huge event.
Okay.
People travel all over the country. And it takes over both parks, Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios. And there's so many mazes.
We gotta go. Yeah.
So that's like the big one. But then John Murdy took over readaption to Hollywood. And his focus was, instead of doing original mazes, which Orlando did, he brought the movies
Let's do the movies.
And that was a recipe for success. Because it works. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He also, as the event grew, he became associated with like Rob Zombie's created a maze there.
It was like a Black Sabbath maze.
Black Sabbath maze. Like, who's the guy? What Mike the fuck Myers. Is this?
I'm trying to say.
The eyeliner.
What was the maze like? What was it about?
It was his dream nightmare.
Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper.
That
welcome
was
to my
maze.
Nightmare.
Yeah, welcome to my nightmare. I actually really enjoyed that maze.
Yeah, it was good.
So that's what Halloween.
Yeah. that.
Horror Nights is
great. So
how did you get started with it?
Okay,
let's hear the process.
Oh yeah.
What's that audition?
Okay,
you read a scene from The Glass Menagerie.
Scary.
I actually chose Death of a Salesman.
Oh, yeah.
So I, you know, moved to LA, and one of the things like naive actors have is like, oh, I need to get my SAG card. That makes me legitimate. And like, there's now it's easy to get your SAG card or easier, but like at the time you needed to do like the vouchers thing, do background work. Get Taft-Hartley. One of the other ways is the 4As. So you can, there's four, they're all sister unions, and AGVA, the American Guild of Variety Artists, is a sister union of SAG, and all Universal employees are AGVA employees. So I thought to myself, I'll get AGVA through this and then join SAG.
Yeah.
And you know, it sounded fun, and I love the genre of horror, so I audition, and so the audition is there's a line of a few hundred people.
It's like American Idol.
The closest thing I've ever experienced to American Idol, I would say. Except replace American Idol hopefuls, like pretty brunettes, you know, like in like capris, with like
people you'd see at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
And like people that are, I don't want to be disrespectful, but you know, it's their time to shine. So like abnormalities are like, can be a good thing.
Fucking freaks.
Fucking freaks.
I think we're all freaks here.
We're all freaks.
So I think it's okay to say they're fellow freaks.
Yeah, fellow freaks. Yeah. So then you go into this large auditorium, and they bring you in about maybe 15 at a time. They line you up, and you have a number on your shirt. And there's a table and a group of people behind it. And then they say, okay, so we want you to scare act.
Oh my God.
And that's what it's called, scare acting.
Yes.
And what we're going to do is we're going to play three songs. And we want you to just go for it.
What?
Oh my God.
So
the sign from Ace of Base.
I would, God, if I, that's one of those things where if I could control the world, the fun you could have playing ridiculous songs, like, I saw the song, what would scare acting to that song be?
If you could scare to Ace of Base, you could scare to anyone.
Oh my God, it's so, well, this, they would play, like, the first song was like, da na na na.
And how did you feel? Okay.
So they were horror songs.
Were you feeling excited or nervous in that moment? You were like, got it. Or you were like, oh my God, what am I going to do?
I definitely did not feel like I got it. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's about to happen.
So the first
with the people around me and also with me, I mean, I'm like, what am I gonna, you know, it's not like you can prepare for this audition. Like, what do you do?
So what did you do? So the Halloween theme kicks in. What do you do?
What did I do? I think I like started doing lunges and like, you know, and then everybody around me, it's literally like if you had to switch, you're like, let's turn the mental institution on. Like all of these people that are normal, and then it's just absolute insanity.
And are you alone?
No, it's 15 other people. Audition.
15.
So then there's like confrontations happen. like where one raptor guy meets another raptor guy, and they're like raptoring off to each other.
Oh,
like,
what I would do to sit in at these auditions.
I'm sure it could be done.
And then there's always the person that makes the other choice, which is to go the opposite and be subtle. So it's like, no, 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 no. And they're just going like
the creepy walk.
Like, they're the creepy
glamming,
like
glamming
girl just wandering.
Right. Like the steampunk girls.
Yes.
Oh, Mano loves steampunk so much. It's his favorite.
He's wearing those huge goggles right now.
Then they played a slower song, which was like, one, two, and a bug.
The Freddy rhyme.
So they play three songs of different like sort of speed, and then while they're doing that, they are deciding, one, is this person safe?
Of course.
That has to be number one.
That is definitely
number one.
Let's take Steampunk Girl and let's get rid of the guy licking a gun.
And let's also call the LAPD.
Yeah.
He should have that weapon in this audition.
Yeah,
so making sure that the people are sane enough and safe.
Oh my
And
God.
then deciding if they're committed, because that is an element.
Yeah. Yes, you know? We've screamed this at the stuff we've gone to, mm-hmm. of like, scare actors are like the most committed actors ever.
Or they're not.
Or they're not. Or they're drinking a soda. And
we
like,
went to one in Pittsburgh. What was there? Was a haunted thing?
Yes, and we went to a kind of a horror nights in Pittsburgh at Kennywood.
Yeah, and I'll never forget this one lady who was like introducing us to the haunted house. Was like
mostly teens.
Yes, and there was one who was, they were very uncommitted. They were
every
terrible.
Single one of them was uncommitted. It was the coldest night of our lives.
And they're like reading their script off a little.
This girl is like, where yes.
Beware, a night of horrors unimaginable awaits you. Beyond these doors, the madam.
And like she wasn't even good at reading.
No, she couldn't
like,
read.
Where it's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
It was very funny. I realized that you don't know this. So I came back to scare acting a couple years ago just for one time because I wanted to. What's the
one night only
haunted play that everybody like loves?
Oh my God, Delusion.
I did Delusion.
You did Delusion? Right.
I did Delusion.
We've seen it every year.
Performer in Delusion.
Which one?
I did Delusion Lies Within. So
yes.
2014.
Yes.
So the idea
we saw that
at.
One.
Okay, it was an author and we were all rabid fans.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but I was the person that would guide you into the house.
That's great.
That's awesome.
But the reason we're now off Halloween Horror Nights.
No,
the reason I got that gig is because they were sold out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go because I was such a fan of it. So I emailed John, who created it, and I said, hey, I was a scare actor for 4 years at Halloween Horror Nights. I'm a huge fan. If you need anybody else to be involved in this, please let me know. That was my lead-in.
Great.
My real intention was, by the way, if you happen to know where I can score some last-minute tickets, I would greatly appreciate that. And he called my bluff and said, yeah, one of our people broke his ankle and we need somebody tonight.
Oh my God.
And said, go tonight?
Yeah. I was like, okay, great. I'll be there. And then I went and they do a 30 on 30 off for all roles. So the girl who was my counterpart, she showed me what she did. And then I got to go through the maze, therefore accomplishing my goal so that I knew what it was.
Yes.
And then I just went right into it and I would guide people in.
Oh my God. That's so rad.
So you said 30 on 30 off just for listeners, two things. One, Delusion is a haunted play that was in Los Angeles. So you like go from room to room and get more of a story.
Yeah.
So it's more than just your
like
traditional maze.
You have
it's a bit
to
more
find.
Interactive. Yeah. So it's more immersive.
Oh, it's awesome. Very special.
Yeah.
It is so cool.
Another thing I got to do with respect to that was I got to go into the control room and just sit there for a couple of hours. And there's cameras everywhere. And to see it all being reset was so awesome.
Did you have like a little thing in your ear?
Yes.
Okay, so they kind of...
Yeah, because it was my job. So, you know, there would be that staging area and you were in groups and you could have drinks and whatnot. So it was my group to be my job to say, you know, group number C, please come forward. We're, you know, and then I gave them the rules, then I brought them in and then I scared them a little bit, slammed the door.
Oh, that's so cool. Did they whisper in your ear, like pick this person to be like, we need somebody to find the key or whatever?
No, because I was responsible for setting up the first.
Oh, great.
So
okay.
I made that decision.
Great.
I would have a satchel and I chose the person to give it to.
Okay,
how did you pick?
Yeah, how'd you pick?
I picked, well, one.
The fun person?
Like the prettiest person.
I typically went for the person that seemed slightly uncomfortable, but not to the point where it felt fake. Uh-huh. And I got really good at picking this up at Halloween Horror Nights.
Of course.
Because I don't like people that are like, oh my God, this is so scary. Like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Someone who's slightly uncomfortable is more likely to like respect the space as opposed to the person who's like too excited.
I would go for the people that were brought to the thing.
That's great.
Cool. Yeah. And then also try to avoid people that were like overtly drunk. And I had to pull some people before they even went in because
they
I'm
were
like,
too drunk.
Yeah. I mean, it's common.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time.
What do you say to them? Do you do it spooky or you do it like a
I don't
human?
Say it to them. I say into the mic. I'm like, you got to watch out for the guy in the polo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then somebody
kills
him.
And they just shoot them. They get brought out back. no, but then because there really are cameras everywhere.
Of course.
They get followed. So yeah, going back to the control room thing. So the way mine worked is I open a basement door and then you climb down onto a table hole, then you take a step down onto a chair, and then you're in the room. So you have to climb down. So there's this fuck guy who's wasted. So I think my mic wasn't working at the time. So they weren't responding to me. So I'm like, I gotta like let people know. So I go to the control room, which is close by, and I'm like, you gotta watch out for this guy. And so then I get a vantage point of him going down. He trips so hard. And like, to see this in black and white, he trips so hard and like hits the table, then hits the chair, and then falls directly inside. I'm like, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it's over for him at that point, right? They pull him out because they're like, you're hurt, or like, we want to make sure you don't sue.
Oh my God. What a nightmare.
Okay, so Universal.
Okay.
Yes, sorry to go on that huge tangent.
No, that was perfect.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. So 15 people, you're in a room with them.
Yeah.
And then is it like a you stay, you go?
Yeah, it's one of those number 203, number 215, number 217. Yeah. Please come forward, everybody else. Thank you.
Do you see them get crushed? Do you see these nerds' dreams get crushed?
No.
That's what Mono gets off on.
Yeah, you like...
I did not. I was happy to have my number selected, and I just moved forward. They give you a little red card, and they say you made it to the next round, and then they do measurements. And they say this is not a guarantee that you've been selected, but we will let you know. Strangely enough, you would think, because there are so many rules, that it's like guaranteed that if you can speak English and do a somewhat good job. But I would say like less than half of the people that audition get it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's like a coveted job. Oh, going back to what you were saying about scare acting at that place, that's one thing that John Murdy is so specific about. And that's why, like, I do have a lot of like pride in, I think for scare actors, it's Halloween Horror Nights is the prime example. Yeah. Like, way better than Not Scary Farm in terms of just like commitment.
Yes.
It really is so reliant. Like, you can have all the greatest tech effects in the world, but if you don't have the performers in there
100%
doing a bang up job, then it's not going to play.
Yeah, 100%.
Before I forget,
it's so good. Yeah.
I have so many questions, but before I forget, I want to ask, were there sliders at Universal?
Sliders?
Because that's
sliders.
Like its own subculture.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
We have Slider fans.
Yeah.
So we met some of them.
Slider fans, that is primarily a Not Scary Farm thing. Uh-huh. That culture lives there.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the thing that we had a lot of were obviously chainsaws.
Yes.
That's
God, yeah.
And that's the world. I mean, I would say the parallel to Sliders would be the chainsaw gang at Halloween Hornets, because that was its own culture and its own like breed of people, because you're the tallest, biggest guys.
So then you're working there. Any other... I just now...
Well, wait, what
other
was stories? The second
round? First audition.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Somebody at that table extended me the greatest gift with respect to the job. They saw me, and I'm this skinny little twink guy, and they're like, oh, make him Norman Bates. And it was as simple as that. It was probably like, we need a Norman Bates, make him Norman Bates. Mm-hmm. Therefore giving me, in my opinion, the greatest role in that entire event.
Yeah, sure.
Yes!
Because one, it's an iconic horror film. Two, that's the real house from the original motion pictures.
Yes! Yeah.
But most importantly, number three. Wait, do you have number three?
I have number three.
What's number three?
You get to do drag!
Well, actually, you
not
don't.
Not in this version.
I only did drag 1 year, and it was the 50th anniversary. I did it my third year.
You don't get to do any mother drag?
I did, of mother drag. I did a mother drag for a whole season, because they didn't have plain clothes Norman that year.
Yeah.
Because it was the 50th anniversary of Psycho. And I will say this, I much prefer doing plain clothes Norman, and I'll tell you why in a little bit.
Okay.
Yes. Number three was, because it was such a singular role, everything else in Terror Tram, and Terror Tram is, for the people that don't know, it's Halloween Horror Nights has a tram, and during Halloween they let people off the tram, and then you go through a maze in the back lot.
It's fun.
So Terror Tram is a bunch of mini mazes. So because Norman is so singular and in a way out of place, because typically it'd be like the Freddy maze here and then the Jason maze there, and then all of a sudden Norman Bates just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Again, because it was so singular, nobody gave a shit about what I did.
Yes.
They let me make my own choices. So for a young actor, that was
incredible. What a dream. Yeah.
So I literally like had this balcony to just do whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah.
And Norman would typically be like, you know, sometimes they'd be like, well, he's a photo opportunity. But with me, never.
Good.
Never, yeah. Never. I would take photos sometimes, mm-hmm. but only as a means of choosing my next victim.
Yes.
So then, yeah, booked it and became Norman. And
wow. First
that's
year.
So wild.
First time doing scare wow. acting, you're Norman Bates immediately.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
Then the first thing I did is like watch the movie a bunch of times. And
yes.
Then,
but you just watched the Gus Van Sant remake with
only the Gus Van Sant remake.
Did you feel a little bit like Nomi Malone starring in a big stage production at the Stardust, you know, which everyone knows the reference I'm using.
Yes. Showgirls.
Did you feel like a young showgirl getting put into a huge production very early in her career?
Yeah, it felt like dream. Everything was happening.
Sorry.
I wish that's where, like, if I had moved to Hollywood and that was like the dream, like then
oh
like,
my
I
God.
Made it. Like, God, that'd be amazing. So then you go through training and you learn certain techniques. For example, scare the chair is something that they developed there. In a lot of different horror events, people in wheelchairs, people are afraid to scare them. And we take the opposite approach, which is they paid a fee just like everybody else. They're here. They want to be scared.
Scare the chair. Inclusive.
Yes.
I
then
like
scare techniques for safety, meaning, you know, you don't see a lot of what they do at Not Scary Farm. Things that aren't even real scare tactics.
Where they like shake a can of beans next to your head.
Yes.
And oh, yeah.
So that's something that Halloween Horror Nights will never let you do because it's like, why the fuck is Freddy Krueger holding a can of beans?
He's hungry.
Yeah.
Freddy's a hobo.
So like taking your part and then developing it, paying homage to the role.
Yeah.
And including scare tactics.
Sure.
Safety things.
You know
how to protect yourself.
Okay.
Because there are so many things that you don't even consider. When you think about scare actors getting hurt, always you think about them getting punched by.
Yes.
By
scared people.
Scared people, but typically not. It's typically by aggro douchebags or drunk bull, which is one of the reasons. I think they might have changed this, but when I worked there, they did not serve alcohol in the park.
They didn't, like, did we go 2 years ago? They did not 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I bet probably not.
So we just drank before we went in. And then
right. Well, that's what a lot of people do that. But I mean, when people are drunk, it really does change certain dynamics. And on our side, it's something that you have to be aware of. I will remind me to tell you the story of the one time they did serve alcohol, which was a buyout. Microsoft bought out the whole theme park and they served alcohol. Oh my God. The amount of geeks and prostitutes and
what
the amount of people that took swings at me that were in like thick rim glasses being like, get out of here.
Wait,
I invented Windows 94
and they're prostitutes.
Windows 94.
There were definite prostitutes.
Oh my god.
Or call girls or
women
escorts.
Of the night.
Women of the night.
Wait, hold
sex
on.
Workers.
Women of the night
sex
in haunted
workers.
Houses. Yeah, sex workers.
Oh, at the hayride.
Remember?
The haunted hayride.
And it was like,
that was wild.
You're
and they
telling,
were like on the ground.
You're telling me a bunch of computer savvy doinks.
Yeah.
Doinks.
Had to get escorts. This is the wildest thing I've ever
That's
heard.
That's the scariest thing.
But beyond that, they were the most aggressive group of the entire event. In fact, of my entire 4 years working there. Because they had so much to prove, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
like, don't
so.
Scare me.
Don't scare me.
Uh-huh. A lot of entitlement.
Yeah.
They're like,
whoa.
We bought out this park. You, we
I've
own
seen
you.
A DOS crash.
Right. Yeah.
Norman Bates.
That was good. I was trying to think of a computer specific, and I was like, I don't know anything.
DOS crash.
Linux.
Nothing scarier than the blue screen. people do get hit, but the other far more common way of injuring yourself is, again, going back to that adrenaline, you just don't know what you're capable of when you get thrown into that environment. So within the first weekend, a week later, I would say at least a fifth of the cast is out.
Like sick?
Sick or injured or maimed.
Oh my God.
And so that's why they've got these, what are they in Broadway? What is it called?
Like you're saying
swing.
Understudy. Swing. Yeah.
So swing. And like some people really enjoy doing that. That's where you get kind of put into a different maze each time because people are out. So people get out because they destroy their voices.
Yeah.
You're taking people that sometimes aren't the most cardiovascular and you're putting into them an environment where they've got adrenaline going. So literally the next day, and this happened to me, the next day you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I'm beyond sore. I'm literally incapacitated. Like I cannot sit up. Dehydration is a huge
element.
All of these elements take their toll. So in training, they try to really, you know, set you up and like make sure that there's always waters and stuff nearby.
If you have prosthetics, they have straws.
Reason number four for why I love Norman Bates, no prosthetics.
Yeah.
That is a vicious.
Yeah.
Because I did prosthetics. I did Grinchmas. I was a who there.
Oh my God, yes.
And so I had to have the prosthetic nose. That is fucking, I have all the respect for the people that had full face prosthetics.
Yeah.
For me, that's a no-go.
Because it's also just hours in the chair before and after. Like,
and the mask work, and you know, people in full masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those elements. I mean, prosthetics can take their toll as well. They can cause skin issues.
Yes.
I called out at Grinchmas because this woman didn't take it off. This stupid makeup artist, and usually they have really good makeup artists there, but this one woman couldn't get the glue off my face.
Oh, no.
And the alcohol wasn't sitting. So she's like, oh, well, let me just rub off the rest. So she got industrial strength paper towels.
No.
And she just rubbed it off.
Ow, and just it doesn't, destroying your skin.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like it's going to like, oh, you know, it's just a paper towel. It's just going to rub this off. I didn't even realize at the time because it didn't hurt that bad, like what she was doing, because she was literally rubbing off like two layers of skin.
Oh.
And then the next morning to have glue reset upon that skin, it just sets you up for like a really. So you have to be very careful with prosthetic stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So all of these reasons combined, like a
Norman,
fifth of the
dude.
Norman.
Yeah. Norman.
That's the role. Hi, Whoreheads. Just a reminder to pick up your Studio headphones today. I have some Studio Trays, which are really awesome, sporty, sweat-proof headphones that you can take to the gym, on a walk. Hell, you can take them on vacation because they're so tiny and so sickening. Use our code HORROR15 for 15% off your order right now. This all makes sense. I just want to add, when we went to Horror Nights a couple years ago, all of us, I remember leaving the park because my nervous system had been so jolted.
Oh, yeah. I remember feeling sick. Yeah, like when you were saying that, I've gone to these events and I've left just being like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, like I'm sick. I have a headache.
Rocked.
I'm rocked.
I'm tense.
Yeah, I'm like tense all over and I need to go lay down right now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
See, I feel the opposite. I feel like a weight's been lifted off my shoulders and I can finally sleep after I've had 200 people scream in my face.
Yeah. It's now the only way you can sleep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I listen to each night.
Just screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So then you go through training, then they have preview night. And preview night is the first night that you are scaring people. And this is the most dangerous night for regular guests. And the reason it's the most dangerous night for regular guests is because, again, this adrenaline.
Yes.
These performers, especially if it's their first year doing it, they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. So I brought my friend Jen and Caroline to this event, and at the time they had, and it's also where some mazes fail. They will shut down, we shut down a clothesline maze one year because it just was not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a clothesline maze right before the Norman Bates house, and they decided to put Michael Myers in there with chainsaws.
And my friend Classic Halloween.
Jen and Caroline came, and
Jen Aniston and Caroline in the City.
Yes. Who prefers not to use her
real name of Leah Thompson.
They go through and they are already angst. I mean, they were nervous to go. But they go through the clothesline maze, and because these freaking Michaels have so much adrenaline going, they're wielding these chainsaws. And of course, the chainsaws don't have the...
But still, they're a heavy chainsaw.
They're real chainsaws made of metal. And I go in there just to see what's going on. Because, oh yeah, Caroline walks out, and she's like, Chris, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'm leaving right now. And I'm like, Caroline, I'm like, calm down. And then Jen's like, no, Chris, she's right. Like, that was exceedingly dangerous. I'm like, what the fuck's going on in there? And these guys are like, ragefully throwing these metal fucking things around. And they're like, like severe adrenaline, where I'm like, oh, I get it a little bit. Like, they're really pushing, the boundaries. And then managers go through and they're like, hey, Bob, can you maybe not get within 2 inches of the guest's face when you wield a gasoline chainsaw? Mm-hmm. They are gasoline chainsaws.
There is no Bob, only Michael Myers.
Exactly. Oh, we had a Michael Myers that same year. He got fired because there was a VW bug and right outside that maze. And he got so into character that he slammed his chainsaw down and broke the front windshield. Oh, and these are movie cars. Movie cars are cars for motion pictures.
Yeah.
So they're vehicles. They're property of Universal Studios. Uh-huh. Fucking slammed his chainsaw and shattered the front windshield.
And this people, is like a 6'4". People like, wow, this is really high production value.
Yeah, what production value? I only heard the shatter. I'm not sure what the guests around thought of that particular thing. Uh-huh. But then that guy, I can't remember his name, but he was gone the next day. And that was his like maybe third warning.
He
was probably
the
guy that was like, hey, can you maybe not throw your chainsaw off the guest?
It was his third windshield.
Yeah, it was his third windshield. So then the event actually starts, and then you get into the swing of things.
Yeah.
And as I said, Norman would be like a photo opportunity sometimes. So I would, the moment you take a photo with somebody, then a whole line starts. So then I would take a photo and then escape and take a photo, then escape.
Yeah.
And I developed a technique where, because one, Norman, unfortunately, is not the most known character at that event.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, what would they say? They'd say, this is the house. Oh, what is this? What is this house? Oh, this must be the house from
House on Haunted
like
Hill.
Adam's
House
on Haunted Family. Hill.
Or what was the John Cusack film?
Adam's Family.
John Cusack film.
Better Off Dead.
No, where it's the mental.
Number 23? Is it a motel?
Oh, Identity.
One?
Identity.
Yeah.
Yeah, is this a house, that makes sense. Motel from Identity?
Next to a motel, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So just people not getting it. And then there's a sign that says the fucking Bates Motel, but whatever. Because of that element, and because every other scare actor they've come across up until that point has been in a mask or in a prosthetic.
Yes.
Here's this random skinny guy in a corduroy jacket.
Just a handsome young gentleman.
Yeah. With no knife visible. I always keep my knife in my clothes pocket. And what I'd do is I'd walk back, give eyes to some people, and pick out my victim. And then I'd turn around and start walking with a group. And I would say to one of them, we have 12 rooms, 12 vacancies.
Yes.
And people would be like, what the fuck? Who is this person? Like, what are you saying? And then I would immediately swing around, like pivot, pull out my knife, and got so good at scaring people right within inches. I would usually go for blondes because...
Yeah.
You know, Hitchcock. Signature. Yeah.
Yeah.
And scare the fucking shit out of people. And like, when you scare, there's a difference between, and you've all, because you've gone through mazes, you know what it's like to go, or like,
yes.
And you know what it's like when somebody's got you.
Yes.
Like, what happens to me the moment that somebody gets me is I go, oh, good one. Good one. Like, that's my thing. Because I'm like, you legitimately got me.
I do that too. I go, you got me. You got me.
For sure.
Yeah. And so on the opposite side, you know what that feels like when you're a scare actor. The difference between somebody going, oh, or like, and literally getting somebody, like, kneeling them.
I'm easy to get.
I'm very easy to get too. Yeah. Just a loud noise will really destroy
me.
Yeah.
Fuck!
Fuck this! Thank you.
Oh my God, please leave me alone. Please leave me alone.
Thank you. I paid for this.
Yes. And so it's that combination of like, one, doing something that feels so like wrong, you know, because you're scaring someone, making them so uncomfortable. But two, you're giving them exactly what they signed up for and what they wanted.
Yes.
So you get this massive like adrenaline rush, and then it just sets you up for the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. It's just this constant line of people like over and over and over again. I loved it so much that I was 30 on, 30 off. So the only place Norman was in that whole thing was up at the house. So there'd be another Norman and we'd come and exchange places. I loved it so much that I wouldn't take my breaks. I would go down to the Bates Motel and scare people.
Oh my God.
Scare people there.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, because that's also where there'd be a lot of crowds. You know, it would be like a...
Because that's a lot of times where you get off from the tram,
right? It's very close to, yeah. So I would just find places there. I would like stand under the sign to catch my breath and just look at people and then go in and out of the rooms. And fucking my first year, I was just ridiculous. Like I would be like lunging when the people would be grouped up, I'd just be going around just like jabbing people, scaring the shit out of people because they're not moving, so they think like, oh, there's like a crowd and there's no scares here.
Yeah.
And then that's a perfect opportunity to get to get people. Only time in my life that I've had the beginning of a six pack, because my body, you're literally in a super cardiovascular environment for 8 hours.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you Norman Bates every year?
Yes.
So you did it for, okay.
That's fun.
And I wanted to be.
Yeah.
In fact, the 1 year that I wasn't was when I was in Norman and drag, and that's because they didn't have plainclothes Norman. And so that was fun. But not as fun because it made the scares more difficult to get. Then again, I developed some pretty awesome techniques that year. Like, I developed this thing where I would just be crouching. There'd be like a long line of people. I'd just be crouching in this little dress down like this. And they couldn't see me because there's a line of people. And I'd just go like that. And it would just be like literally people going like, like.
So what you're not hearing right now,
oh my God,
is Chris giving us this fantastic demonstration of how awesome he was at scaring
just a crouch
as drag mom Bates.
Drag
also,
mom.
Is there just there's drag something mom Bates. That's fantastic? But there's also something just harder because I think when someone sees a normal faced man with the wig, which is how Norman looked in drag, it's just like, oh, a man wearing a wig.
Yeah.
It's not as scary.
I had that realization too, so I took it upon myself to go to the blood station. Oh, so where you get costumes and stuff all set up is called Scare Base. And that's where you like...
I love it.
Scare Base.
You get like, there's so many like good things about working there, and there were like bad things too. Like, scary, like it was so gross, like all of these sweaty clothes, and they would clean them every day, but it still never felt like perfectly sanitary. Anyways, so they had the blood station. I was not supposed to get blood as Norman in drag, but I'm like, no, if I'm in drag, then I've killed somebody, so I'm gonna get fucking blood. So
good.
Then I got blood splatter all over.
Yes.
All over the whole costume.
Usually around the face. Okay. Usually I'd have them do like, that's so particular, across one side of my face, because I imagine she would stab at like,
yes, like that. Yeah. Ooh.
That's so good.
Then the other thing that I developed with Norman and drag is one night it was raining. When it's raining too hard and it's slippery, you don't scare. It's too dangerous.
Of course. Okay.
Because people can fall, especially on Terra Tramp, because it's muddy. There's walkways that are not paved. So when we were in that mode, what I did instead, and I'm drenched with my own sweat and water, and the wig is kind of like,
ew,
the hair is over my eyes. And I stood up there, and then I developed her voice, which was like, Norman, you know, I'm like, look at you fucking sluts. Like, and I started calling people sluts as they walked through, like, look at you, you're all a bunch of whores. And just started doing this. Like, nobody was telling me to stop. And then I'm like, people in ponchos would come by and I'm like, look at you, you're a bunch of fucking jujubes. Like, just like making fun of people. Like,
what's a jujube?
Like, little like, candy.
Candies.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you look like a fucking school bus. You know, like, saying things that could be like...
I love that.
Yeah, and like, just making fun of people and calling them whores. And like, and then, like, this crowd started forming. And then John Murdy, in charge of the whole thing, he started watching. And And I'm like, oh God. And then all of the other managers started watching. And I'm like, is this when I get fired?
Yeah.
I'm at my most vicious, like, you fucking whore. Like literally calling people fucking whores, like moms and mothers with children. Like, oh yeah, you bring your young ones here, you fucking slut. And then John Murdy comes up to me and he's like, you are doing a fantastic job. And
good.
That's great.
On the terror tram, they had this tradition where, so in real life, on the back lot, when Universal Studios opened, they wanted to do a big event, and they hired a aerial acrobat, somebody who flew a plane,
yes,
and could do like flips and stuff.
Cool.
But he had just, so his friend had recently passed away from a stunt accident, and that scared him, and he said, I don't want to do this. The owner of Universal, I can't remember his name.
Universal.
Yeah, he was like, you know, we paid you do this or your career's over.
Career's over?
Universal, like, chill like, out.
You're done. So he did it and something went horribly wrong and he fell out of the plane and he fell to his death. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
So he was already, this was the first guy or the second guy?
His friend had died and so it scared him and he said, I have a bad feeling. And I don't want to do this event. And then the owner was like, I paid you. If you don't do this, I will talk to every single person, all my friends that own studios. You are going to do this.
And then he died?
Then he died. This is true. You can look this up. So one of the traditions on Terror Tram
Stunned.
Yeah, I am too.
A scare actor would, not one of the hired scare actors, but one of the managers, I think it was John Murdy, would go in this skeleton mask and this like outfit. And he would go around and he would hand out black roses. He'd hand out maybe three a season. And it was always to the women who were doing a great job. Like if he saw somebody, a girl do a really good scare, he'd give them a black rose. I never got a black rose because it was, you know, I'm not a woman except for that year.
You got a black rose!
I got a black rose! Wow. And it's one of my coveted things that I
That's
still hold on
amazing.
To.
Is it a real rose?
It's just like a little prop rose. Yeah, it's like a prop rose.
Yeah,
I like coveted that thing. I was so into it.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome.
What was the craziest scare you did? Like, did somebody ever poop their pants?
Yeah, so we would call them Code Yellow and Code Brown. Code Yellow was actually more common than you would think, especially on Terror Tramp because there's no bathroom.
Yes.
And so you got people that have been drinking or that have had a lot, you know, just regular beverages. And
oh God, I drink too much Pepsi. I gotta pee on this tram.
I'm gonna pee my pants.
I'm gonna Code Yellow.
Give me a big scare. I don't know who that guy was.
Give me a big scare.
Somebody give me a big scare.
Someone who was frozen in the 1920s.
Yeah. And before reanimated. That was a puppet. That got brought back to life.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. I can't wait to get myself a bigger scare.
Lollipop.
So Code Yellows were more common. I only had one Code Brown. And there was this
Code Brown
Latino grandfather. And people ask me, Chris, how do you know it was a Code Brown?
Yes.
And when you're there, you know, dude. Because it was this plump grandfather, Latino grandfather, and I see him and he's so oblivious to the situation. At the time, it was probably because he was like, where's the bathroom?
Yeah, just focusing on that.
I circle around and I go in and I do the scare and then comes flush in the air. And
you heard it?
And I smelled it. And then he went, lo siento.
You apologized to you.
Yeah. And then he walked off. And I was like, I felt so bad because that's not the end of the maze. That's halfway through. Then he's got to take a tram up.
That guy had 12 hours left in that maze.
Yeah. Oh. So that was it.
Do you tell anybody like this dude just Code Browned in his pants? Let's get him to a bathroom.
No,
that's what we have to say about Betsy all the time.
I'm really craving a Mountain Dew Code Brown.
Yeah.
Coffee.
It's a point of it's a bragging point. I scared so many celebrities.
Who is the biggest? I
scared the shit out of Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah.
And good. I was mentioned, and this is going to sound so ridiculous.
I can't wait.
But Jimmy Fallon mentioned me on his show because he was talking about Norman Bates, and I had scared the shit out of him, and he was like, oh yeah, but that Norman Bates at Universal Studios, man, he's the best.
My brother
showed me that clip because I didn't believe it at first. Yeah. And I'm like, oh wow, you know, and for like, it's been years now, but like at that time, you know, I'm like, that was like the coolest thing.
Of course.
I scared Paris Hilton. I scared Christopher Lloyd, but I didn't know I was scaring him, and that was one of the only times that I broke character because I was so immediately starstruck.
Yeah.
Because
Marty.
I went, I know. Then I saw who it was, and I was like, oh, you know, oh my God, you're
Did you say anything? Like, were you like, I'm a big fan?
No, I saw it in my eyes.
Yeah, yep, he knew.
I scared the Lakers. I was in a Taylor Swift music video. She did a music video for a Halloween thing, and they put me up at the top of the stairs. Oh and God, so I scared. This. I'm only in it for like half a second.
Chris!
Enough for us to get a screenshot.
Yeah.
And it's me in drag. So there would be injuries that would happen.
Yeah.
Because people would get punched.
Yes.
And one year, the worst injury I ever saw, a person had to be transported by ambulance because she got jump kicked.
Like, and this is a scare actor who got jump kicked.
It was a girl.
Oh my God.
Right in the chest. And so that's why when we were on break, it always felt like we were in war.
Yeah.
Because everybody would be coming off sweaty, and then you'd be like, did you hear about Jessica?
She got jump kicked in the chest.
She got jump kicked in the chest.
Oh my God.
Jet Li was coming through here.
I got injured. I had to get taken to an ambulance, but mine was so small. But I scared a girl, and she had such a high pitched scream that I thought it blew out an eardrum. Like, I couldn't hear on my left ear. So now they make you now they make you wear earplugs.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, like, what the... Yeah, exactly.
All the glass breaking around you.
Oh, I scared Elizabeth Taylor. I scared the Michael Jackson kids.
You killed Elizabeth Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
You did it.
They were together. It was Elizabeth Taylor and the Jackson kids.
Oh my God.
I killed Elizabeth Taylor.
Wild. No.
That's crazy that she would want to go there.
I think she was like being a grandmother to the
children.
Yeah.
Can we guess how she was scared?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, what do you think?
We'll all do our impersonation of what we think she sounds like. Scared. Okay.
Now, this is old Elizabeth Taylor. I just
This is not Flintstones.
Right.
Oh no! I'm aware.
I just watched that movie. Oh, that's pretty good.
Singing, kind of.
What do you think, Betsy?
That.
Pretty good,
Adam.
I'll sue you.
Do you want to know what she actually did?
Yes.
If it's all sue you, I'm going to die.
I scared her and then she went, these have always brought me down. And then she gave me some white diamonds. No, just
Oh my God.
Pretty dead in the face.
Yeah, that makes sense. You killed her, so she was dead in the face.
Yeah.
What's something that you think would surprise people who have never worked in the industry or done it? Like something that would surprise them to know about like being a scare actor?
People come from all walks of life and like you get like real actors, but a lot of the people, this is like their one time of the year where they get to be something that they're not. So it's like, it can attract the like community theater crowd a little bit. Uh-huh. I don't mean that in like amateur, but I mean that in like these are mothers and fathers or people that have regular day jobs. So like, you know, next time you go to the Wells Fargo, your teller might soon be donning a Freddy mask.
And, that's and a can of beans. And a can of beans.
No cans of beans at Halloween Horror Nights. A tip, maybe I shouldn't, well, I'll say it, who gives a shit, but like if you go to Halloween Horror Nights, one, front of the line passes are, if you can afford them, they're obviously great to have. But two, if you're waiting in that line, you know what, right before you walk in the maze, maybe accidentally try down your shoelace. What I mean by that
is,
create a small gap in the line so it gives the scare actors a chance to reset themselves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, even the best scare actors, like if you've got this idea, like the park closes at 1, so if we get in the line at 12:59, we'll be guaranteed by, even if you've got unlimited energy, by the end of the night, you're going to be dealing with like 50% or less, like in terms of just people, I mean, they're spent. And another reason I like Norman is I got to always change things up. These people, like when you're victims in the mazes, have the most challenging job.
Because
they've literally have got to be going, help me.
I cannot imagine that.
Can't imagine.
I can't either because I never did it.
Like, it's exhausting.
I can because that's what I scream in my apartment all night.
I have a question too.
Yeah.
Who is someone, you don't have to, I do not want you to name names, but who is also just like the worst person you worked with? No. Who is just like, oh my God, you don't get it. Or like, you are really bad at this, or you're a pain in my ass. Tell us the tea.
I don't want to throw somebody under the bus.
You don't have to say their
name. Is there any way you can do it hypothetically?
One of my counterparts one particular year really loved the glam element of it and kind of always drove me nuts. So he never scared people and he always just did the photo opportunity and his photos. So like, wispy knife. And like, and I'm like, Norman was Norman. Never that fat.
He was voguing with a knife.
Yeah. Like, that's the reason Norman was Norman. He never was he never allowed himself to be that fabulous.
Of course.
So, you know, maybe don't vogue with the knife.
Yeah.
He didn't do a full-blown Fosse routine in the middle, in the middle of Psycho.
I would love to see a musical Psycho.
Oh, yeah. Let's get the rights.
Norman doesn't gotta be cheap. Give face, he stabs face.
Thank you.
Okay. So, that's the best I could do.
That's really good. I have a couple questions for you, non-Horror Nights related, just as a guest related. Were there any local, where'd you grow up?
Hayward, California.
Hayward, all right. That's where my grandma and uncles lived for a long time. Oh, nice. Were there any local legends in Hayward, like that were big?
So my dad's a great storyteller and he created, I don't know if they extend beyond the family, but we had this trail because I lived off of a canyon. So there's this Hayward Trail. And so we would take trips down it all the time. And he would tell me the story. There was this water outlet, sewage drain that went into a creek. And there were bars. It was like this big square and there were bars on the square. My dad told me the story of this young boy. No, actually, I think it was a young girl who they loved to go exploring. So she went down into the drain.
What?
A little bit like it, but not pulled in, but went down to explore. And then when she was down there, it was too slick. She couldn't climb back up. She was stuck.
God.
So she called her brother. Brother could have gone and gotten the parents. But he decided to take it upon himself. He's like, oh, no, I can fix this. So then he went in, and it was then too slick for him to climb back up.
Oh, no.
So then they thought, if we can't go up, then we'll go down to where the water's released. So they climbed all the way down through the sewers, and then they finally got to the outlet. There were bars. Oh. And one of the bars, I think this might have been the origin of the story, was crooked, so it looks like somebody worked so hard to pull, you know, it forward. But it was still there. And so they never got out, and they starved to death. And my dad would be like, you can go look inside, you know, and try and see their skeleton. It was always so dark, and I never did.
Dude, oh, that's a great one.
That's good. That's fucked up.
Oh. And that's so cool. It's like unique to your family. Or it's like you guys, he just told that to you guys.
Yeah.
And then did you tell your friends though?
Yeah. Every time I've gone down the trail.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's really good.
James is scary.
The other question I would love to ask you is not like real world horrors, like medical scares or anything, but what's the scariest thing you've seen? If it's something that is like you can't explain.
Effects of Crohn's.
Yeah. And that's our podcast.
Scariest thing I've seen in
yeah, it's like anything life. Like spooky that you couldn't explain,
ghost or experience, a weird light in the sky.
Going back to that original question, that one scared me. But the scariest thing was something that my friend Danny Chapnick told me. So again, I live in this canyon, and he was telling me this one night. My biggest fear, I still am scared of aliens, alien related.
Sure.
Like,
yes,
I saw a fire in the sky when I was a kid. That film scared
the
horrifying.
The scariest things on film.
Horrifying.
Yeah. Fucked a lot of kids up.
There's a moment in that film where he's in the phone booth and he's covered wet and covered in slime. Ew. And then he looks out and you can see sort of like a handprint on the phone booth that does not seem human.
Ew.
So my friend Danny was saying that one day he was having a sleepover and he was in a sleeping bag next to a sliding glass window.
Oh no.
And he heard some rustling outside and he had long drapes, you know, the ones like vertical blinds.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he could kind of see out of a crack, but not really see anything. And then he had a deck and it was late at night and he heard hooves.
Ew.
Like a deer or a horse.
Mm-hmm. Or a Krampus.
But he was listening.
Or a pan.
He was listening and he didn't hear. He didn't hear a trot. He didn't hear four.
Right.
He only heard two.
Oh, fuck.
So he heard, you know, but the sound of hooves combined with that, and that scared the shit out of me.
That is horrifying. That's the devil.
That was the devil.
It's Black Phillip.
Clacking his legs.
Oh my God. Boom. That's spooky. I got chills.
And then the scariest thing that I've ever witnessed, like paranormal
or like horror related. Like there's a guy who was on the loose and he like anything that triggers in you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from the Bay Area. So the legitimate scare was I was right at the age where I could comprehend Polly Klaas and her abduction. That's actually like real stuff. She got kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And the story of her kidnapping is so awful because it was, I think, during a sleepover or the guy went in and like abducted her. So that legitimately scared me, you know, like the idea of like a creep.
God.
But then paranormal, I have family, many generations in America and on the eastern side of the United States, I have family that owns a house where George Washington, it's famous because he was planning his trip across the
Delaware, I think.
Anyways, so a revolutionary soldier was killed there during the Revolutionary War. And they had said, we were staying with him, and then they had said, we are haunted. There's a ghost here. Don't worry. He's friendly. Try to be respectful. And there was a public pool not far from where they were. And I went... We were staying up in the attic, or up in the third.
Yeah.
This is when I was a really small kid. And I went up to the top and very still. And I wanted to get out of my swimming shorts. So I pulled my trunks down, but the door was still open. And right when I pulled my trunks down, the door slammed shut with such force that it scared the hell out of me. And then I told my parents and they told the family and they're like, yeah, no, he doesn't want to see you running around and buck naked.
My God.
And you were me as my great parent.
That's a good one.
And also the story of the time you code browned.
The time I code browned. Which is about 45 seconds ago.
I love that it was that ghost boy didn't want to see you naked. Yeah, he's like, no, get out of here.
Like Valerie Cherish. I don't want to see that.
A little defensive ghost boy.
Yeah, it's fine.
This is also rad, man. From? Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh my God. So much.
Thank you. I was happy to talk about it. And like, obviously my joy, like that's why I said before we started, like, I don't want to go back to it, but I know in life that'll be one of the greatest jobs I've ever had.
It sounded so fun.
Yeah, what a dream come true. I fucking love scaring people and it's crazy I've never even like tried to do that stuff.
Yeah,
there's negative portions to it of course, but I lucked out with the role that I got.
For real,
I really did.
Yeah, and I still like have moments where I like
like fall time or
That's why I've developed using the techniques that I learned from Halloween Horror Nights and using sketch comedy. That's why I've got the show at the Groundlings called You Pay to Die Tonight.
Yes.
4 years in a row, which is sketch comedy with scare tactics. There's so many scare tactics that they also teach you, like distraction scares is one of the main things. So like when you're going through a maze, that's why you'll always see somebody in a corner and then the scare comes from the left.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. It works every time.
Yeah.
It's called
a distraction scare. So I like incorporate that. So I have my little ways of getting just a morsel of that.
Yes.
Are you doing that show again this year?
Yes. I might not be doing it at the Groundlings, but looking at another theater right now.
Great.
Okay. Awesome. Ooh. And is there anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, you want to plug away
before we say goodbye?
I've got my monthly show that I do at the Groundlings right now called The Gale. It's a queer improv show, but you need to come do it.
Okay, yeah.
I know I've talked to you about it before.
Mono, go do it.
I did it once 100 years ago.
I'm not out of the closet.
Mono's not out.
No, I would love
to. I'm just full of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Anytime.
But yeah, it's monthly at the Groundlings. It's a queer show, but it's for all audiences. I'm really proud of it. I love it. And thank you guys so much.
I love it. Thanks for being here. Thanks so much.
Thanks for Horny for Horror. I'm Mono.
I am Betsy.
I am Adam.
Stay horny.
You guys switch roles.
I switched roles totally by accident.